prayer, praise, and worship tonight. Kind of recruited people off the fly here. Instant in season and out of season. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone this evening here at the Christian Service Center, and those of you watching online. Just an evening that we're going to have some various songs throughout the evening. A time of prayer, praise, and worship. I would like to remind everyone concerning this Friday and Saturday. If we could go ahead, okay, it's already up there. The return. You should be able to see that on your screen there, at home, and those of us here. That this Friday, September 25th, from 6 to 9 p.m., you can go to thereturn.org and click on the Watch Live here. And Saturday, from 9 to 5 or 6 to 9 p.m., 9 to 5, and then 6 to 9 p.m., you can do the same thing. It's just a wonderful time of many people getting together, calling this nation back to a place of repentance, reconciliation, restoration, and revival unto God. So I'm going to go ahead and pray right now, and then we will begin this evening with a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this time of seeking you, for this time of awakening, for this time of allowing your Holy Spirit to minister to our lives, hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying and speaking to his church, to us individually, wherever we're at. We thank you, Father, that we are attentive to the Holy Spirit. We are awake. We are yielded. We want, Lord God, to hear what you're speaking. And so we just commit this evening, Lord God, of prayer and praise to you. We ask that these certain passages, Lord God, would bring things to our remembrance that you want to bring to our remembrance and teach us to pray as we ought to pray, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we do need this land healed. We do need repentance, Lord God, and a turning of the church and a turning of the world, Lord God, back to you more so. We do need, Lord God, to acknowledge that you are the God over these nations of the world, that you are the God that is over the storm and is with us in the storm. And that we would just end this evening, Lord God, with every praise unto you, that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And as the scripture tells us in Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we thank you. We dedicate this time to you. Our lives are your lives. Our voices are your voices. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So I would just like us all to hear this song from Carrie Job, Heal Our Land.
You take our lives, flawed yet beautiful. Restore, refine, Lord, you're merciful. Redeem. Christ be known. Christ alone.
Psalm chapter 33, beginning at verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitations of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Lord God, we come before you on behalf, Lord, of this nation. This nation, Lord God, that on a penny or a dollar bill or five or a 10 or a 20, it still reads, in God we trust. And our trust is in you, Lord. And as the scripture here says, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We are asking, Father, for this time in the history here of this United States of America, we are asking, Lord God, the word here says that you see from heaven and that all the nations are as nothing before you. We are asking, Father, for your mercy, for your grace. We are asking, Father, for a move of your Holy Spirit once again across this land, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South. We ask, Lord, for a conviction of your Holy Spirit to move once again upon this land. First, Lord God, through your people and to all people of this nation. We are asking, Lord God, for your mercy. We're asking for a stay of your hand. We're asking, Father, for another flow, another move, Lord God, first of repentance, and then reconciliation and restoration, and then for true, Lord God, a move of revival. And let it begin here right now. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with each of us who know you, Lord. We look to you, and we trust in you. We know, Lord God, that you allowed this nation to be founded. And so once again, we look to you to have you as God over all the affairs of this nation. So we humbly submit ourselves to you. We look to you, Lord God. Have your way among us once again in this country. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Glory be to you, Jesus. Now, this next area here that I'm going to go into, there's two areas of prayer that we're going to look at. One I've called a Daniel moment, and one I've called a Nineveh moment. And a Daniel moment is, it's from Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel chapter 9 is, they have been, it's close to 70 years that the children of Israel have been in exile in Persia. And Daniel gets a copy of the scroll Isaiah, and he's beginning to read, not Isaiah, Jeremiah, he's beginning to read that the prophet Jeremiah. And then he realizes why they are in captivity. He realizes what landed them there. And as he begins to see why they are there from the prophet Jeremiah, that he begins this prayer. And so I'll say the first part of this prayer. Then afterwards, I would like Larry to come up and have Larry pray for the nations, for the world. And this specific prayer as what Jonah went out with, this one sentence word to Nineveh, and the change that took place in Nineveh is a change that we are asking also. So in Daniel chapter 9, it says in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. In other words, that they would be in bondage, in captivity for 70 years. And look what Daniel did in verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord. And as I read this, this is going to be the prayer that I'm praying right now, be praying Daniel's words on behalf of God's people, on behalf of those who name the name of Jesus Christ that may have gotten or that are in a place of coldness or lukewarmness. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your judgments, from your precepts and judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. I'm going to drop right down here to verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all the disaster has come upon us. We have not made our prayer before you, before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand and grasp your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept this disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous, and in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Drop down here to verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear our prayer. Hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, the city, which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people called by your name. So we thank you, Father, and we do praise you. I pray, Father, right now on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ, all over this planet, Lord, everyone who names the name of Jesus, whatever condition that they find themselves in, Lord God, wherever they're at, and those who have somehow missed you, those that have gotten off track, those who have gotten into the world, the flesh, or being even prodded by the devil, Lord. Lord God, we just humbly have repented, and we do repent, Lord God. And if there's any of these things active within our own lives, we thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us and restoring us to the people, Lord God, that you have redeemed us to be, that we are a glorious people. We are the glorious church. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We thank you, Father, that because of the blood of Jesus, that you have provided a way for us to be without spot, without blemish, or any such thing, that we are your representatives here on this planet. We are the light of the world, Lord. And we thank you that we do shine as those lights. So we thank you, Father, for the gift of repentance that you grant to each of us, Lord. And in this time, or during this week, or any time in the future, that you need to convict us of something, that you need to address something, that we won't turn our face away from you, Lord God, but we will turn towards you. And we thank you, Father, that we will allow you to deal with us by your Holy Spirit so that we can be all that you have destined us to be as your church while we are here on this planet for your glory in Jesus' name. Larry, if you could just make your way up here right now, and I'm going to read a couple verses. The Word of God tells us that there's judgment coming and that the nations of this world are going to be standing before the Lord. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. And it also goes on to tell us there's something that we can do on behalf. And it says over here in Psalm chapter 2, Psalm 2, beginning, I believe, with verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, or against his Christ. And this is what they say: let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. That's the condition that a lot of people in this world, they think of when they think of God, or they think of us when we share about the Lord. And we don't want to have any part. But this is what God says that we need to do on their behalf. And it tells us right down here in that same chapter, at verse 8, it says, ask of me, talking about us, on their behalf, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. And the last passage that I want to read is in Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, which were works of repentance, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it.
They read in chapter 9 when it says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake. For, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Pastor Mark was reading that. The Lord had me. He said, turn over to Daniel chapter 2. And in verse 20 it says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. For he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth the king and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Heavenly Father, you are a great and mighty God. And Father, there's many things that are going on in this nation and in this world. But Lord, we trust and know that you're in charge, that you're the great and mighty God. You know all areas of darkness, but you're wanting your church to rise up again and be a light, to be a light to those who are in darkness, to those who are in loss, Father. And Father, you search the innermost parts of our hearts, and you want to reveal those things that are not pleasing to you, that are causing us to not want to repent, wanting to hold on to things that you want us to get rid of, Father. Lord, we just ask that you move by your Spirit on every heart and every person, not only in this country, but throughout the world, Father, that you move by your Spirit and you cause repentance to come upon every person, Father, both Christian and non-Christian, Father, that we would turn from our wicked ways and we would cry unto the Lord Jesus and we would repent, and we would acknowledge our sins, and you would heal our hearts, and you would heal the lands in which we live and the people of this world live, Father, because you knew this day was going to come. You knew exactly what you're going to do. You were preparing the hearts of your people to be ready to intercede on behalf of not only this country, but leaders throughout the world, Father, because you desire to change the hearts, to change the lives, to change the situations and circumstances. And Father, you're doing this for one purpose and one reason, to prepare us for that final day in which you return. And you rule and reign forever and ever and ever. So, Lord, we just ask that you just continue to move by your Spirit, because you are a great and mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, most of us know this passage, when Jesus told his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side. And it says over here in verse 23, Scott, if you could just make your way right on up here. In verse 23 of Matthew 8, and when he, Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. And I believe that's a cry from a lot of people right now of what we are facing and going through as a nation and individually. We are perishing. And the way that we see this nation going and other nations going. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? There's a spiritual message here, the winds and the sea. The winds referring to, spiritually speaking, the realm that we don't see. None of us sees the wind, but we hear the effects of wind. We can see trees move, you know, when winds are violent, like in storms, things get knocked over. Or if it's a hot day outside and we can sense a breeze and it helps refresh us. We can't see the wind, but we know when it's present. And it's just whether it be the wind of the Holy Spirit or the wind of evil or evil spirits. We see the effects of God in people's hearts and lives, and we see the effects of the unseen realm of Satan and sin and demons and fallen angels and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. We see their effects in the natural realm, and the seas refer to people, the people of this earth, and whatever wind is blowing, whatever that breath, whether it be coming from God or coming from this world or coming from the devil, we see the effects on people's lives. But we have one here that is spoken of who has the authority over everything that's going on in the seen realm and the unseen realm, that has the authority over people and over people's lives. And there's a word that the Lord wants to speak in a person's storm, whether it be to the church or whether it be those who don't know him, that there is a truth. If they're listening to lies, then a true breeze can come, a true wind can come. And the Word of God tells us in John chapter 3, speaking of everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Word of God says in verse 6 of John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I say unto you, you must be born again. And we know that this is referring to a person coming into saving faith through Jesus Christ, because everyone knows John 3:16, Jesus is still ministering to this man by the name of Nicodemus. And so he tells him down here in verse 16 and the verses after this, how a person can be born of the Spirit. But listen what Jesus says back up here in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Lord wants those of us who know Jesus Christ to become so sensitive spiritually to the Holy Spirit that we may not know what the Holy Spirit's doing 5 minutes before or 5 minutes after, but we do sense, and we should be, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we should be a people that are led of the Spirit. The children of God are led of the Spirit of God. And God wants to use us by His Holy Spirit to influence people that are in a storm, that are in a situation. They're afraid. They're in an upheaval. Don't you care? Don't you care, God? There's things going on here. Don't you see? And the Lord does see, and the Lord does have an answer. Jesus is not upset. Just as He was at peace there, He's at peace now. And we have a peace in Jesus Christ as the people of God that are born of God, and that He wants to use our lives to speak peace into other people's storms, that Jesus is the Lord over the storm. And I would just like to read this verse here in Galatians chapter 1. Then I'll have Scott come up and pray for people that are experiencing a storm. And this is for the people of God, that you need to know this, as it says here in Galatians chapter 1. I'll read verses 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. As the people of God, we should have peace, no matter the storm that is going on around us, so that we may know and be a comfort by the Lord to people who don't have that peace, so we can introduce them to the Prince of Peace while they're in the storm. Would you please pray for people experiencing storms?
Lord, we just thank You, just praise You for who You are. You are the calm in the storm. You are our God that we trust in. And if there's anyone out there that is lacking that, Lord, we just pray over them that they would know who You are, that You're always there for them, that You are such a mighty God, that You hold the whole world in Your hand, and You know who's Yours and who's going to be Yours, Lord. And we do pray for all those out there that are experiencing difficulties, Lord. They don't know where their next meal is coming from or their job or whatever, Lord. We just pray for peace for them, and that this storm that is happening here because it is pandemic, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that each and every one of us are going to make it through it, Lord. We just pray for those who don't know You, that someone out there will come across their paths and speak the word of Your word, Lord, the word of God, because only by the word of God that anyone has faith. And we just thank You for that, Lord, that You are the God that gives us counsel, us wisdom, on how to approach anybody out there to give them a hope. And that is the hope in Jesus Christ. We just thank You, Lord, for who You are, that each and every one of us, as we go forth through the next year, that we are guided and led by the Holy Spirit in all things, Lord, that we listen to that small, still, quiet voice, Lord, saying, go this way, go that way. This one needs to hear something from You. Lord, you know, we've all are experiencing people like that all around us.
Yes, Jesus.
And we just thank You that we'll be bold and speak forth. Give them the hope that is in us. Share it with them. That no matter what happens, Lord, if we go tomorrow or we go next week, if we put our hands in our lives in Your hands, Lord, we know You hold the future for us, Lord. And we just praise You and we just thank You for who You are. You are the God of the storm. You're God of the peaceful times. You're the God at all times. And we just thank You for that. And I just want to read one scripture. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. This is for all, for the whole body of Christ, and for this world, and for what it's going through. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. At this time, Guy, if you could just go ahead and play that song, Praise You in the Storm.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hand, 'cause you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm.
Again, my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God takes away. And I praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hands, 'cause you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands, you never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Oh, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
I will praise you in this storm. Praise you in the storm. I will praise you in the storm.
I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus makes a statement here. He says quite a few things through Matthew chapter 24 and 25 when he answers the question of his disciples about his second coming and the destruction of the temple, or the destruction of the temple and his second coming. And he talks first about deception, and then he talks about everything that's going to take place within the world and the things that are also going to befall the church. But then he makes a statement here concerning those of us that will be here during this time in verses 13 and 14. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. We have a promise from Jesus here that until his gospel, the truth about himself, reaches all ears in all nations, that the end will not come until then. And you've heard me recently saying that in most nations now, that cell phones are everywhere. People are connected even in the remote part of the earth, that somehow that they have been able to get cell towers there, and most people have access to some sort of communication through which the gospel is being preached. So I would have to say that we are very close to Jesus' words here, that this is taking place and going forth into all the nations. That is why when we read in Psalm 2 that the nations are at rage. They're at rage against God. They're raged against Jesus Christ or his anointed. And as you know, that the nation's rage is a spiritual rage that is manifesting on them, because it tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil knows his time is short and he has great wrath. And because he has great wrath, he does not want to see the church of Jesus Christ advance. He doesn't want to see the gospel advance. And so we see the raging of nations, whether it be political raging, whether it be social injustice raging, whether it be rioting. There is a lot of rage that is taking place. And as Scott prayed already, and as we looked at, that Jesus is also in charge of the rage. He's got an answer. But regardless of what is taking place on the planet, we still need to be enduring through it. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to make sure that we are focused, that we stay on task, that we seize the moment, we look to Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our King, as the one who is in charge. It says over here in Psalm 67, I'll read a couple passages, and then we'll have this last time of prayer. Psalm 67, verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us. It's almost very similar. It's taken right out of what Scott was reading in Numbers chapter 6. And cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, take a moment and just think on this. That your way, speaking of God's way, may be known on the earth. The only way for a person to know the way, God's way, the way of salvation, is for the church to make it known, to make Jesus known. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth, Selah. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. And God, our own God, shall bless us. And God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is speaking about the gospel message that is going to the ends of the earth, as a passage that I read. So during this time of prayer, yes, there needs to be a national repentance. Yes, there needs to be a repentance that takes place in the Church of Jesus Christ. We do pray for the Holy Spirit to bring the goodness of God, which leads people to repent, as it tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And if you go back up in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, the promise, you keep saying Jesus is coming, but where is that promise? We haven't seen that promise yet. So verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack. God's not a slacker. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of his second coming, of his return, as some people count slackness. But it goes on to say that God is not willing that any should perish. Why? He wants the gospel to go to the nations, but that all should come to repentance. So we have been praying for this nation. We've been praying for the church in this nation. We've been praying for the nation itself and for individuals to come to an understanding that God is and that God is real, that God does love them, and that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. But we also have to realize that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to also seize the moment that we're in, that we have to have an understanding, a complete assurance of the greatness of who Jesus is in and over our lives, that regardless, as Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 24, regardless of the natural situations, regardless of nation rising against nation, or ethnic group against ethnic group, racial group against racial group, that whatever's happening politically and whatever's happening nationally, whatever's happening racially, that whatever is happening among the nations, we have to seize the time that we have left here and keep on point. We have to keep on track. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not just for power's sake, Jesus said, so that you'd be a witness, a living demonstration of me in this planet, witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 8 that he is the light of the world. And John chapter 8, that he is the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, he tells us, you are now the light of the world. You are my envoy. You are the one in my place here. You are my hands. You are my feet. You are my voice right now. We must make sure that we seize this time, because we have another promise. And this is a promise from, I'll read two more passages here from Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, see, this is where everything is moving toward. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Heavenly Father, I come before you in this last segment of prayer. We've had an evening, Lord God, of agreeing with brothers and sisters that are gathering this Friday and Saturday in Washington, D.C. This event called the return. The return, Lord God, of your people to yourself. The return, Lord God, of sinners from their sinfulness to come to know Jesus Christ for the first time. The return, Lord God, of a backslidden nation and the nations of this world that need to come and know you, Lord God. That we have prayed, Lord God, and stood as we heard the passage read in Daniel chapter 2, that you're the one who puts people in positions and you're the one who takes people out of positions. That if a person has a position, you're allowing them for that space and that time to have that position, Lord God. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the future holds of this upcoming election. You do. But we do know the one who holds the future, and that is you, Lord God. You have seen the end from the beginning, and you know everything that transpires in between. So I pray right now, help keep your church on point. Help us seize the moment, Lord God, and not be like Timothy ended up being until Paul wrote to him. Let us not let timidity come on us. Let not cowardice be who we are called, Lord God. But let us realize, Lord God, that because of the salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that we have received, that we have received the Holy Spirit, who is power, who is love, and causes our mind to be fixed on you, that your thoughts are our thoughts, and your ways are our ways, and your heart is our heart, and your words are our words, and your gospel that you secured for the salvation of the nations is the gospel we live, and a gospel that we give out to others, Lord God. Because there is coming a time when you will come, and you will rule, and you will reign here on earth, Lord God, and every nation will bow the knee to you, Jesus. But we are also reminded, Lord God, of a multitude. We are reminded, Lord God, of a group of people that will be in your presence forever and ever. And so I would just like to read about this group of people in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying this, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Father, we know where we're going to end up. We're going to be with you forever. We want to be able to take as many people as we possibly can to enjoy eternity with you, Lord. And so, Lord God, we know that it's going to end up here, Lord God, with an amen, with blessings and glory and wisdom, with thanksgiving and honor and power and might to you, Lord God, forever and ever. And we are grateful to be part of that number. So we're asking for many more multitudes to come in and to become part of that number, Lord God. And so we thank you, Father, that there will also be a return to you, Lord God, of your church, of people, of nations, and out of nations, Lord God, all kinds of people putting their faith for the first time or renewing that faith, Lord God, in the Lord Jesus Christ again and returning completely to you. We thank you, Father, for giving us a wonderful picture here. And Lord God, we thank you that you are still the God of our lives, the God of this church, the God of your church, the God of this city, the God of this nation. You are the God over all the nations. And as we have already prayed, and I ask this again, Lord, we pray that you would give us the nations as an inheritance for your inheritance, Lord. And so we thank you, Father. It says here, out of every nation, you will have an inheritance. Let us be part of that, Lord God, so that we can, in the future, cast those crowns before you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would just like for us to hear this song by Chris Tomlin, God of This City.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. There is no one like I. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless.
I just want all of you to know that when Jesus comes for us, it's going to be glorious. And he's going to have a glorious church. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, this is where it's all going. So even though that we're going through this time, we know what God is doing within our lives and what he's going to do in this church, and especially right prior to the time of his coming, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. See, this is where it's all moving. That it should be holy without blemish. And so just as the Psalms end with a hallelujah, it says in verse 6 of Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it's literally hallelujah. That praise the Lord is the Hebrew word hallelujah. And so even though that we go through times of repentance and we go through times of reconciliation and restoration and that we are expecting a time of revival, it will end in praising God. How many of you have heard that song from Hezekiah Walker, where the song is called Every Praise to Our God? Have you seen the rendition of it when he took his people out to the street? And if they can get the people's attention with a song, how much more us with our life in Jesus? And that's what we're going to close tonight with. I want you to play the last one, Guy. The one where every praise to our God, when he just gathers this group of people outside on the street and see the reaction of everybody around. Every praise to our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Every praise.
Every praise.
God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God. Glory hallelujah. It's to
This is where it's going. This is what comes after repentance. This is what we should be looking forward to. Amen? Every praise to our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God. Take it up, every praise. It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
I
want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God.
God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Is online already shut off? Bye online. Every praise to our God.